And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olives beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. We broadcast today Sylvia Berger's drama of The Brave Mrs. Korngold, starring Arnold Moss and Ethel Everett.
There's a zoo in this country. The authorities in charge decided to build new houses for the beavers, the otters, the bears, and the lions. And so they called in special architects. The architects studied the habits and needs of the beavers, and they built houses especially designed to suit the habits and needs of the beavers. They studied the habits and needs of the otters, and then they built houses especially designed to suit the habits and needs of the otters. It was just about that time, just about the time that the otters and the beavers were relaxing in their specially suited environment, that Mrs. Korngold went to pieces. The children were very kind when Mr. Korngold died. After the funeral, both Evelyn and Morty stayed at the house a whole week. And then they took turns for a few days looking in. And when they could talk about it, they told their mother not to worry about money, with what they would each contribute, and the insurance.
There isn't any insurance, Evelyn.
What?
Papa borrowed on the insurance to save the store.
But if it didn't do any good, what?
He didn't know that.
Well, don't worry, Ma. Morty and I'll work it out somehow. I'll talk to Morty and see what he thinks.
Mrs. Korngold waited for the children to tell her what they thought. Even before Mr. Korngold died, after he lost the store, as a matter of fact, she'd learned to wait till the children told her what they thought.
I think if we give you 25 a week, 12 and a half apiece, Ma, I think that you should be able to make out all right. Don't you, Ma? And if you ever need anything extra, Ma, anything.
And then he explained why he couldn't ask her to live with him.
We'd love to have you, Ma, you know that, but the place is a madhouse. Bernie's already saying that he's too old to stay in the same room with Dorothy, and when they start fighting, you'd go crazy, Ma, with all that hullabaloo.
And Evelyn explained about their one-and-a-half-room apartment.
You'd be even worse off with us than with Morty, Ma. That dressing room's no place for anybody to sleep. Sam and I are going to start looking for a bigger place, but until then, I really think you're better off this way, Ma. A nice, quiet home to yourself.
Mrs. Korngold was lucky. There weren't many women her age who had a nice home to themselves. There was her friend, Mrs. Frank. She lived in a cold water flat on the fifth floor. And when her arthritis got too bad, she couldn't thank you enough if you offered to do the shopping. And Mr. Abrams, who rented the back bedroom for Mrs. Arthur. Whenever Mrs. Arthur felt nasty, the only way he could get any peace was to spend the day outside on the bench. And Miss Quinn, in a furnished room where they wouldn't let her play the radio. Mrs. Korngold couldn't stop thinking how lucky she was. She wasn't alone in the world. She had her children. It seemed lately that every time Mrs. Korngold sat down to rest on the bench outside, she'd hear about somebody,
hear about Mrs. Bronstein?
What about Mrs. Bronstein?
They took her away.
What are you saying? Who? Where?
The welfare. She was crying and carrying on.
Where did they take her? What did she do?
Old age.
They take somebody away for old age?
Oh, it's the best thing in the world for her. Now at least she'll always know there's somebody around to give her a meal.
But such a clever woman, such a mind.
She tried to hide her age to the last. She told the welfare she was 76. Everybody knows she was 78.
Where did they take her?
That island. What do you call it? I see it every time I go to visit my daughter in Queens. That the island where they put old people.
Mrs. Korngold hated to hear about old people being put away. It gave her a funny feeling, like she was afraid. But not only for herself, for Morty and Evelyn and Mildred and everybody that was ever born. Such things were done to people when they got old. One day, when she'd heard Mrs. Arthur nagging and scolding upstairs, she found Mr. Abrams sitting on a bench outside. She walked over and sat down next to him.
Life's funny, isn't it?
Sure is.
You're young. You've got a husband to quarrel with, to love. The children hang on to you. You're a somebody with your friends. You get telephone calls, letters. I don't know.
Well, when I was with the printing company, I could pick up a telephone, make a call anywhere, Missouri, Ohio, anywhere. Every phone call by Abrams meant a profit for the firm.
A good business head is something you have to be born with.
Had the biggest territory on the force. Live Wire Ben, they called me. Gave me a gold watch when they let me go. Still runs, too. Look at it.
Oh, genuine gold.
Went up to see them about a year ago. The girls at the office said there were no vacancies to come back in 6 or 8 months.
I don't know.
Nice to sit in an office again. Go out to lunch, the other men. Talk about this, about that. Leave a tip for the waiter.
You know what happened to my friend, Mrs. Bronston? I can't get over it.
A sign on the drugstore for a boy. Pointed out to him, why does it have to be a boy? Can't I carry a bottle of magnesia as well as a high school boy? That's the way they wanted it.
To take an elderly person and put her away on an island until the day she dies. What did she do? Commit a crime?
Went up to that place on 42nd Street about a pension. Too young, they said. I'm only 62. All right, if I'm too young, give me a job. I'm willing. No, for that you're too old. You've got gray hair. Get out of the office. It might be catching. What's the matter? Old age, a disease that you've got to hide in the bedroom? Why don't you pass a law? Pass a law against old age. That way, at least, you'd know you have to die. All right.
Today, in the United States, more than 10 million people are 65 or over. They're often ill, often alone, almost always lonely and afraid. With that fear, with the fear of the aged, Mrs. Korngold began to live in closer and closer intimacy as time went on. The headache she got when she climbed stairs, the dizzy spells, that time when she went to telephone Evelyn and forgot what she'd gone down for. The burden she'd be on the children if she got sick. The time when Morty thought he was going to be laid off. The pain then in Mrs. Korngold's chest was like a fist had hit her. She'd had to stay in bed for 2 days then, but luckily the children never found out. One of those days when she thought Morty was beginning to look very tired and gray, she thought maybe she could find a way to be less of a burden on the children. She put on her good hat with the imitation leather rose and went up to that place on 42nd Street that Mr. Abrams had talked about. That pension place.
I'd like to get some information, please.
What sort of information?
About old age people.
Old age people?
I mean if I'm entitled to old age.
Do you mean old age and survivor's insurance?
Oh, of course. I don't know what's the matter with me today.
Fill out this blank, please.
I don't see so well. I was supposed to change my reading glasses.
Oh, well, what jobs did you work at in the last 14 years?
I took care of the house.
Is your husband alive?
No.
What did he do for a living?
He had a grocery store.
He was the proprietor? He owned the store?
Oh, yes, that's right.
That's all he did all his life?
He got up 4 o'clock every morning for 32 years to take in the milk and the hot rolls for the customer's breakfast.
I'm afraid your husband wasn't covered. His having had his own business before the insurance law was changed makes you ineligible. You won't be able to get a Social Security pension.
But it was only a small business.
He still wasn't covered.
Mrs. Korngold was ashamed of herself for asking, but the thought of Morty going on 40 and not saving a penny, and Evelyn without even one child to take care of her when she got old.
There is no relief.
Does anyone contribute toward your support now?
My son and my daughter.
Hmm. Old age assistance is outside this department, but I doubt that you'll be eligible for that. If they are able, your children are legally responsible for you. If they don't want to support you, you can take them to court.
Mrs. Korngold wanted to laugh right there in the office. Take her children to court. Mrs. Korngold went back to her apartment. And then she wondered, what could she do with herself? Well, maybe she could call Evelyn. But Evelyn's boss didn't like her to get too many personal calls at the office either. Besides, she'd called Evelyn already this week. Mrs. Korngold thought maybe if she took a mind off things, a movie maybe. But by the time she climbed down the 4 flights of stairs and then the 3 blocks to the movie and then after the picture all those stairs to climb again, she went to the bread box and took a slice of bread. And then she put it down and lay down on the bed. Mrs. Korngold didn't undress that night, but she didn't mind. It made her feel braver-like if she went to sleep with her clothes on. There are so many accounts being closed for the aged. The friends who die. The relatives who move away. The big money that you never earn again. The sounds that get fainter, the tastes that get flatter, the goodbyes that outnumber the hellos. Time unwinds faster and faster when you grow old. Your credit with the world grows shorter, and you begin to hoard. You hang on to your grandchild's hand even while he tries to pull it away. You beg for another visit from your son even before his present visit is over. You count the seconds that your children give you, knowing that soon they will give you your last. You hoard what you can. Sometimes you even save newspaper string pennies on the light bill. Whenever Mrs. Korngold's children came to visit her now, they almost always found her sitting in the dark.
Mama, what are you sitting in the dark for? Why don't you turn on a few lights? You're not trying to put Edison out of business, are you?
I didn't need the light, Evelyn. I wasn't reading or anything. I was just looking out the window.
I thought you said you were going to take in ice. You're still keeping your food on the window ledge.
It keeps nice and cold that way,
Evelyn.
Why
don't you make things easier for yourself, Ma? Why do you always make things harder for yourself? If you need any extra money, you can always ask me or Morty. You know that, Ma.
Mrs. Korngold knew that. But she couldn't find the words somehow to tell Evelyn that it wasn't just the money. It was being so alone. Being alone all the time made you think of all kinds of things. When Evelyn left, Mrs. Korngold turned out the light again. You don't need a light to look out the window. It was nearly 18 months after Mr. Korngold died that Evelyn got the phone call.
Evelyn?
Oh, hi, Morty. How's the old worrywart?
Mother's not well, Evelyn.
What?
They phoned me to come to this hospital.
What happened to Mother?
They've got her up at the hospital. Do you want to come and see her?
Mrs. Korngold looked very strange in the bed that was like a child's crib with railings on each side. Her eyes stared with a wild glare, a wild, sightless, lonely glare.
Hello, Mother. Hello, Mother. This is Morty, Mother. Do you know me, Mom? This is Morty, your son.
Hello, Mother. This is Evelyn, Mama. Hello, Mother. Jill. Jill. My children.
The first 2 months of Mrs. Korngold's stroke cost her children $1,000. There was the hospital, the doctor, the private nurse, the medicine. And then the hospital was forced to ask Mrs. Korngold's children, could they take her out? They needed a bed. There were so many emergencies. They weren't equipped to give the long-term care for the chronic illnesses of old age. But what the hospital didn't tell Mrs. Korngold's children was that what had happened to Mrs. Korngold, what was happening every day to hundreds of Mrs. Korngolds, was not just old age. It was the corrosion of a human being by fear and insecurity, loneliness and rejection, by shame and uselessness and despair. That's what had happened to Mrs. Korngold. And now she could no longer live in her own home anymore. Now her children had to find a special home that would take in and care for a broken human being.
I heard of a private nursing home for the aged up in the Bronx. A nice place, they said, not too expensive. I asked my boss, could I have an extra hour for lunch, and I made the trip up there. It was an old brownstone that smelled of stale food and dirty bed linens. There wasn't a room in the house that wasn't crammed full of beds.
Oh, yeah?
She wore a crumpled white uniform. I noticed that whenever she looked at any of the residents, their eyes took on an anxious, harried look. I'm interested in it. I'm looking for a place for my mother.
Oh, you want private or semi?
Well, how much do they cost?
Well, the private will cost you $55 a week. Two in a room is $50, and three in a room, that's only $47.50.
Well, my mother's never shared a room with strangers before. I don't
know. Oh, I got a very nice room for her if you're thinking of semi. With a roommate, that'll be just right for your mother. She doesn't talk, but she's very nice. Smiles all the time.
My mother's much better, but she still needs help with dressing and cutting up.
Oh, I got two girls that know just what to do for your mother. Don't you worry. Those girls are strong as oxes. They can pick up your mother with one hand and still have room for another.
Is there a doctor?
Yeah, there's a doctor we use when we have to. $4 a visit if it's just a checkup. Of course, if there are complications, that...
Her eye fell on an old lady who was sitting up in bed rummaging through a paper bag.
Oh, what are you looking for, Mrs. Green?
My comb.
Isn't she cute? She simply insists on keeping her things in a paper bag. We have a nice little table for her there against the wall.
Can she reach it from the bed?
She can always ring for the girl. Can't you, Mrs. Green?
Mrs. Green looked up at me. She could ring, but all the ringing in the world couldn't help her.
I went to some nursing homes. If they weren't crowded, they were too far for us to visit, or they didn't want stroke cases. And then a friend of mine told me about the City Housing Center.
I'm sorry, Mr. Korngold, but I'm afraid we have nothing available for your mother just now.
But this friend of mine said that...
That 5% of all our future housing projects will be set aside for the aged. That's true.
He said they're going to have square bathtubs.
With hand grips to make them safer. And the apartments will have many other safety features.
Then why can't my mother get in? I can't tell you how badly she needs
it. I know she does, Mr. Korngold. Your mother is caught in a contradiction of one of the greatest miracles of our time, the increase of our lifespan. We're able to benefit from the creative energies of men like Einstein, Albert Schweitzer, Toscanini. But we face the problem of how to employ, how to house and rescue from loneliness those very members of our society who could bring us the benefits that only old age can give us.
Can you put my mother's name down for your project?
Did you say your mother was incapacitated by a stroke?
Yes, I did.
Well, Then she'd need help in getting around, wouldn't she? I'm afraid these apartments, even when they are finished, wouldn't answer her problem anyway. I'm very sorry, Mr. Korngold.
Somebody in my office told me about a beautiful home for the ages on Long Island. And it was beautiful. It really was. Beautiful lawns all around and glassed-in sun porches to let the sunlight seep through. And the woman who let us in was beautiful, too. Silvery-haired and gracious. She was gracious, that's what it was. I could see even Morty was impressed. He almost embarrassed us to mention money.
We were hoping that it wouldn't amount to too much.
Well, I'm sure we can arrive at a mutually satisfactory arrangement. We have a beautiful room for your mother. Southern exposure, hot and cold running water for $110.
A month?
A week.
Oh.
We have a cheaper room that just happens to be available today. $85 a week.
We couldn't afford that. We can't afford half of that.
Morty, they can't keep Mom at the hospital. They told us they need the room.
But Evelyn, what's the cheapest room you've got?
We have a very nice room that just by coincidence was vacated this morning. I can let it go for $65 a week.
May we see it? Evelyn, you saw the other places, Morty. You saw what they were like.
I should be very glad to show you the room if you like.
Oh, what's that? Oh.
Just a minute, please.
Go, Bobby. I want Bobby.
Now, stop that nonsense.
Where's Bobby? Go, Bobby.
Bobby isn't coming. Now, you be a good girl and go to sleep. You're disturbing everybody.
What's the matter with her?
She always gets like that after her youngest son's been to visit. I wish he wouldn't come. She's always hard to handle after he's been to visit her.
In his desperate back-to-the-wall fight for help, Morty Korngold inevitably got around to me, too. He wanted to know about our home.
Some of the homes object to stroke cases. Do you mind taking stroke cases?
Our home and infirmary are for the aged who cannot take care of themselves. Stroke cases cannot take very good care of themselves.
I suppose your rates are the usual ones.
Our home, like other voluntary homes supported by public contributions, is not operated for profit. We're operated to give service.
Excuse me.
It was at that point that Mr. Fisher came into my office. Mr. Fisher had just arrived at the home 4 days ago. In his younger days, he'd been a certified public accountant.
Excuse me, but there is something I have to discuss with you, Mr. Bernard.
Shoot, Mr. Fisher.
It is the matter of the pocket money. Is there any stipulation about how the pocket money we receive each month is to be spent?
Well, any way you please.
One can spend it on newspapers, cigars, candy.
Why not?
One can if one wants to even give it away.
It's your money.
Well, it happens that my grandson will be visiting me today. And when a grandson comes to visit, you want to be able to give him a little something for a baseball, a chocolate soda, the way a grandfather should.
Of course.
Have a cigar.
Well, thanks, but I... Sure. Light?
Thanks. Well, guess I had better get back to the recreation room. I wrote my grandson. He'd probably find me reading a paper in the recreation room. So long now.
So long, Mr. Fisher.
Well, thanks for... Say, that's quite a plaque on your desk. That's quite a thing, isn't it?
Quite.
I remember hearing my father saying it in the synagogue. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength hath failed. Mr. Bernard, will you have room for Mother here?
There's a waiting list.
Will you put my mother's name on the list?
We'll be glad to.
How long will my mother have to wait?
About 3 years. In this country, there's a zoo where especially designed homes are built to suit the needs of beavers and otters and lions and bears. But the brave Mrs. Korngold will have to wait 3 years, if she can hang on that long, for a home that can suit her needs. I call her the brave Mrs. Korngold, Because, as some of the aged live today, to be old takes courage. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Joel W. Schenker, co-chairman of the World Brotherhood Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary. Mr. Schenker.
The touching story of Mrs. Korngold, which you have just heard, is one which is unfortunately all too prevalent in our current society. It is an ironic commentary on our society that Mrs. Korngold's plight, like that of increasing millions of aging people, is the direct result of a blessing bestowed upon us by God. More and more people are achieving the biblical age of 70 years and 10, and the average age of our population climbs upward with each new census. In our prayer books, we have all come across the phrase used on the High Holy Days, "O cast us not off in the time of old age, forsake us not when our strength faileth." We take this to be a direct mandate that the responsibility and care of our older citizens is a primary obligation resting upon all of us. One of the blessings of democracy is that from time to time there emerges a public servant conscious of his official as well as his spiritual obligations. Such a public servant is Herman Stitchman, the Commissioner of Housing of the State of New York, who with one ringing blow has made the most dynamic contribution in the field of sociology in the last decade. Through his office, we received the thrilling announcement several weeks ago that the state of New York will provide in its future program housing quarters for the aged in every public housing project to be built with state funds. If this had been available to Mrs. Korngold, the script we have just heard would not have been necessary. The beacon has been lit. Who will pass on the torch? There are 47 other states in the Union. Let them light their torches upon the fire kindled by our own state. The fifth commandment bids us to honor our parents, so that our days may be long upon the land which the Lord our God has given us. We must redouble our efforts to help the Mrs. Korngolds among us, so that in generations to come it may be said of us that we truly honored our fathers and mothers.
Thank you, Mr. Schenker. Our eternal light drama today, The Brave Mrs. Korngold, was written by Sylvia Berger. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical music. Arnold Moss was the narrator, and Ethel Everett was heard as Miss Korngold. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.